Part 7, Team Objectives. I've been a vocal advocate for the OKR, Objectives and Key Results, technique for many years. But it's no secret that, for most companies that have given it a try, the results have been disappointing. As I see it, there are three fundamental reasons for this. Feature teams versus product teams. If the company is still using feature teams, as most unfortunately are, then the OKR technique is going to be a cultural mismatch and almost certainly prove a waste of time and effort. The OKR technique came from companies that had empowered product teams in their DNA. OKRs are first and foremost an empowerment technique. The main idea is to give product teams real problems to solve and then give the teams the space to solve them. This goes right to the core of enabling ordinary people to create extraordinary products. Yet the telltale sign of mismatch out there is that companies think they can check the empowerment box by giving the team objectives, yet still continue to tell them the solutions they are supposed to deliver, nearly always in the form of a roadmap of features and projects with expected release dates. Managers' objectives versus product team objectives. The second issue is that the purpose of a cross-functional, empowered product team is to work together to solve hard problems. Yet, in so many companies, each manager, the manager of engineers, the manager of designers, and the manager of product managers, creates their own organizational objectives, which are then cascaded down to their employees. This may sound reasonable, and not necessarily a problem for other parts of a company. In practice, however, this means that these employees, when working with their cross-functional colleagues in a product team, are all working on their own objectives rather than working collaboratively on the team objectives. To make matters even worse, in many companies, there's an additional level of complexity and dilution because they also try to implement individual objectives. So not only does the engineer inherit the objectives from her manager, but she also has to work on her own personal objectives, the role of leadership. And finally, and really the root of the problem, is that in the vast majority of companies I see that are struggling to get any value out of OKRs, the role of leadership is largely missing in action. They literally think that the idea is to let teams identify a set of objectives and then let them pursue those objectives and we'll see where we are at the end of the quarter. They think that empowered product teams, and this technique especially, is about less management. But as I've tried to emphasize throughout this book, it's really about better management. Is it really any wonder why so many companies get so little value from this technique? It's no secret that most of the leading tech product companies use the OKR technique or one of the variants. And it's also no secret how much success these companies have had. Yet people are confusing correlation with causation. Those successful companies aren't successful because they use OKRs. They use OKRs because it is designed to leverage the empowered product team model. And as I have tried to make clear in this book, the empowered product team model is a fundamentally different approach to building and running a tech product organization. You can't take your old organization based on feature teams, roadmaps, and passive managers, then overlay a technique from a radically different culture and expect that will work or change anything. So, in terms of actually getting the benefits of OKRs, there are three critical prerequisites. One, move from the feature team model to the empowered product team model. Two, stop doing manager objectives and individual objectives and instead focus on team objectives. Three, leaders need to step up and do their part to turn product strategy into action. The majority of this book has been about the first topic. For the second item, this is mainly education. And hopefully these chapters will set people straight on that. It is the third item that needs much more discussion. So in the upcoming series of chapters on team objectives, we'll discuss the role of leadership in effective team objectives. First, we'll discuss specifically how we empower teams through team objectives. This is the most important benefit of team objectives, and yet it is often the least understood. Ultimately, the point of team objectives is to execute on our product strategy. And this is where we convert our strategy into action. We need to discuss how work is assigned to product teams in ways that are both empowering yet also accountable. Next, we'll discuss how leaders manage a portfolio of risk by sharing with teams how ambitious they would like them to be as they pursue the problems they've been asked to solve. It's critical to note that sometimes it's not about the level of ambition, but rather, we need to occasionally make what's called a high-integrity commitment, and we need to discuss how these are made and managed. One of the common misconceptions about team objectives is that only a single product team should work on a specific problem. On the contrary, much of our best work requires collaboration between teams. And there are several important forms of collaboration we'll discuss. As with any difficult technology-based endeavor, we need to actively manage this work, always being mindful to manage by coaching and servant leadership and not to regress to command and control style management, undermining the benefits of empowerment. Along with empowerment comes accountability, and we need to discuss what this means in practice. Finally, we'll put all this in perspective with the most important points to getting the real value out of team objectives.